What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
An update in the missing scientist cases, a sentencing in one of our past minisodes, and a search that's 25 years overdue. This week's episode is True Crime Headlines, Prior Case Updates.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, before we kick it off, this is different than our regular episodes where normally Christy reads the outline and we react to it. This is a True Crime Headlines, which is one of our mini bonus content features we have. We have a new one also that's coming up. That's the us reacting to the Cogsuckers subreddit where people have fallen in love with AI chatbots. And I have pulled those for you. And I can't wait for us to record that because
I am shook.
There's a lot going on. We also have the Heather Saves coming up. We just posted an unpopular opinions where you all wrote in and let us know your unpopular opinions. And before that, we did a Just Know Mother-in-Law, which was nightmare stories of mother-in-laws going way beyond.
So many boundaries have been crossed and broken.
Yeah, that's like no boundaries hour usually. Yeah. And we also do Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits we like to comment on and pull from yours. So if you've got a Patreon bonus segment, or if you've got a grievance for Judge Christie, you've got an Am I the Asshole situation in your own life, we also do Dear Sinister, where we do advice for folks. Go to sinisterhood.com/contact and select submit a Patreon segment, and you'll see all your various different options. And then go over to Patreon and join so you can listen to the bonus content. So the true crime headlines are not as long as this one. Normally, this is a mega one that's for the main feed episode, but we wanted to give you all a little taste of what it's like over on Patreon.
Yeah, absolutely. And while these are all pretty heavy subjects, like Heather said, we do some lighter stuff too. We kind of do it all over there. And this is a good update on so many cases that we've been following on the main feed and on Patreon and that most people just know about. So we thought this would be a good way to kind of introduce people that might not know what's going on over on Patreon, what we do, as well as just give everybody an update on a lot of stuff that we've all been super interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to listen ad-free, go to Patreon and listen ad-free. But let's, as you often say, let's get into it. Welcome to another edition of True Crime Headlines, so big that it is not Patreon bonus content. It is, in fact, a main feed episode for you all.
Lots of updates today.
So many, and we begin with a very sad update from episodes 394 to 396 on the missing and dead scientists. On May 28th, 2026, the New Mexico State Police Investigation Bureau was notified that a hiker had discovered human remains in the McGaffey Ridge area of the Carson National Forest. Police confirmed on Saturday night, May 30th, that those remains are Melissa Casillas, the missing employee from Los Alamos National Laboratories.
Yeah, it's a huge bummer. A handgun was found near her remains as well.
Yeah,
which I know is what people said she the only thing she had when she left her house.
Well, that's the strange thing is, yeah, you're right. Her remains were found 15 miles from her home, about 6 miles from where she was seen. There was a handgun with her, but her daughter made a statement saying, quote, "The statement that Melissa owned or routinely carried a handgun, specifically described as a Glock subcompact 9mm, is inaccurate. She could not legally purchase a firearm and did not have one. Every firearm in our home is owned and purchased by my father. At no point did I ever see her carry a handgun or keep one in her vehicle." So,
well, that's interesting.
Yeah, they also pointed out, the family confirmed that the area was a area that had previously been searched, which raises questions as to timing. They said, "It's a lot to process. Our hearts are heavy and we fully continue to pursue answers for justice." But they said, "We can tell you now she was located in an area previously searched." So what do we think that means? Just not thorough searching, or came out there after the search?
Could be either one. I mean, we've done a lot of cases where it's like, all those areas were searched and all of a sudden they're found in that place. And each time it's like, did somebody just miss it? Or did someone else place her there because they knew those areas were being searched? So they figured she would be found at some point. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's the tough thing for the family, is that you want to trust that the search efforts are thorough, going through, you know, making the taking like inch by inch by inch. And then when they say, well, we've already searched this area, and then a hiker, you know, nearly a year later comes upon her, I feel like that would keep me up at night of being like, how long has she been there? Like how much, yeah, what was overlooked and what else could be overlooked. So the cause and manner of her death have not yet been determined. The remains will undergo further anthropological examination by the Office of the Medical Examiner. She survived by her husband, Mark, and her daughter, Sierra. So if any of you have any information about what happened to Melissa, please contact the New Mexico State Police at 505-425-6771.
Yes, very sad. It's always sad when the answer leads to more questions, but I hope that the medical investigators is able to determine, like you said, the questions of cause of death, how long had she been up there, to hopefully give the family and law enforcement a better idea of a timeline and who might be responsible, or was this something she decided to do? And if so, what led up to that decision?
Yeah, and there was commentary that, you know, she got into a car with someone, and maybe there was a comment of like she had help or she was helped by someone in that situation. So yeah, what car she got into, how they were related, like, you know, is it just a stranger that saw someone hitchhiking or somebody planned to meet her there? Mm-hmm. But along in that same case, new details have emerged in the case of another missing person we also discussed in those episodes. General William Neil McCaslin, as y'all know, has been missing since leaving his home in Albuquerque, New Mexico, on foot back on February 27th. Well, now, new footage obtained by Law and Crime Network and subsequently reported on by News Nation has captured two separate accounts from the day around the time that he vanished, which together have added a little bit more context, because, you know, it was kind of this idea that, he's retired, he's not really talking to anyone important. Well... Now, an unnamed female witness has told police that she and U.S. Space Force personnel had dinner with McCaslin the evening before he disappeared.
That's very close to when he disappeared.
The evening before. Yeah, she is connected through the Kirtland Partnership. It's a nonprofit organization that supports Kirtland Air Force Base. So she sounds military adjacent. And she described a dinner meeting at a local Albuquerque restaurant called Cervantes around 6 p.m. on February 26th, the day before he went missing. She said that she was alarmed when she learned he was missing the next day because of what she had observed at the dinner. She told officers, quote, "I was shocked this morning when I saw the alert because of what I noticed Thursday evening is he wasn't his usual self. He was kind of spacey and quiet, and you know, that happens with people, so I didn't put anything with it." So then officers asked whether he had security clearance, and the woman said he has a very classified security clearance. So that contradicted what his wife had said, which said that now, since he was retired, he had only very commonly held clearances, and he had been retired for 13 years.
Interesting. I mean, could this have happened and this is what she actually perceived? Sure. Could someone be telling her, we need you to make a statement and say like, these things? So it looks like, you know, maybe he wandered off on his own. Also could be.
Yeah, like who? Maybe she really was at the dinner and now it is very convenient to come out and say like, oh yeah, he was weird the night before. But she was recorded telling officers he was the head of the Air Force Research Lab to the point the man's names are in the UFO documents that are fixing to be released. He's in that depth. So he has very high security clearance. So interesting that she was harping on his security clearance, his meeting with officials from U.S. Space Force, which didn't exist, you know, before the Trump administration. So McCaslin was never affiliated with them. But I'm sure now, you know, things that were formerly Air Force under Air Force purview, maybe under Space Force purview. So
Space Force sounds like a made up thing. I mean, I guess it is. But if he was spacey and not himself at dinner, that would lead me to believe he was either already knew that the next day something was, he had to go somewhere and was going to have to leave people. Maybe he was depressed and it was manifesting that way. Or it could be he was completely fine and this is all made up just as a red herring. It's hard to know. And he still hasn't been found.
No, he is still missing. The other body cam footage that's been making the rounds with this audio is it is footage of his wife, Susan Wilkerson, who was talking to police and revealed that he had been prescribed a new medication for sleep issues, that it had caused anxiety, about 20 pounds of unexplained weight loss. And she had said that he had taken the new medication for the first time that evening and that he was, you know, was supposed to help him sleep. And he said, I have gotten better sleep, but it's like the after effects of a bad hangover. I'm just foggy. I can't get any motivation to do anything. So we can't rule out the possibility of some sort of medication issue.
Yeah. Hard relate there, sir. Yeah. I am also on an upped dose of a medicine that one of the perks is it helps you sleep. And man, oh man, it has made me very foggy headed. So I don't have thoughts like I want to leave or that I want to hurt myself, but that doesn't mean he didn't. And, you know, I don't know. I still feel like that's an easy way for anybody to explain things away when something is sus and they're like, they kind of want people to stop looking into it.
Yeah, I think they oftentimes will try to take any type of medical diagnosis or a prescription and twist it into say, well, that explains it. So we don't have to keep looking into it. You know, well, clearly he took this medicine and he felt foggy headed and just walked into the woods because he was confused. It's like, I don't know that that's the exact type of, you know, the bad hangover. We've all had medicine where, you know, you're kind of feeling that way. It doesn't mean that you, like you said, disappear into the woods. So
no,
they're still searching for him. They've not announced foul play. They have not publicly identified a cause. The silver alert that was issued in his case remains active. He is 68 years old, described as a white male, approximately 5 feet 11 inches tall, and was last seen in Albuquerque. So anybody with information, contact the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office tip line at 505-468-7070, especially if you've seen anything, seen shirt, hat, anything out in the woods, saw him walking past, or, you know, any, I think any tip could help add a piece to the puzzle. Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
If you don't live close to your dad, you know how easy it is.
Tell you where I live. My dad lives in the ground. It's very deep underground. I'll put a frame next to his casket.
My dad was cremated and I have his ashes. So I am not that far from him. But it is easy to let time slip by without him knowing what's going on in my life. For all of you that still have your dad's Aura Frames, fixes that. It's a digital photo frame that lets you send photos straight from your phone to his frame, whether in this realm or another. So your father is always kept in the loop.
Don't miss out on things like first days of school, family trips, a day by the pool, a random Tuesday dinner that made you think of him. No phone calls required.
That
no,
is good.
No texting tutorials. The good photos, they just show up like magic.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad phone calls and texts aren't required because we haven't figured that out yet.
Not yet.
Perhaps Aura Frames, that's their next big venture. Every Aura Frame comes with free unlimited storage so you can add as many photos and videos as you want. And it ships in a premium gift box with no price tag included. So it's very much just ready to give to the recipient.
Named number one by Wirecutter, you can save now by visiting auraframes.com. For a limited time, listeners can get $35 off their best-selling Carver mat frame with code CREEPY. That's AURAframes.com, promo code CREEPY. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
Very interesting that these two cases both happened in New Mexico as well.
And I didn't know that there were like high rates of people disappearing in New Mexico, but I was watching News Nation and it was Lauren Conlon, the journalist, as well as, I can't recall the man's name, but he's like former military and he was talking about all the cases in general and then specifically Melissa Casillas and General McCaslin and was saying that, there's some sort of, I won't say like an extremely high rate, but some slightly elevated likelihood of going missing in New Mexico. And I wonder if it, what does it have to do with the desert? Does it have to do with the nuclear testing? I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah. A lot of land, a lot of potentially dangerous land with animals, snakes, hiking where you could get lost or fall or something.
Yeah. So hopefully someone has seen something in both of these cases if so, reach out to the New Mexico State Police or the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office tip line, because it's all that, even with Melissa Casillas, they may have her remains returned, but that doesn't mean that they know what happened. That's not
sure. And it's one of those that either his wife really didn't know how much of a security clearance he had, or she did and she was downplaying it. If it's the latter, it seems like you would be downplaying it because maybe something has happened and you're trying to make it look like a not big deal. I mean, in this line of work, if they don't tell their spouse 100% facts of what they do each day, that also makes sense. So I don't know. Either way, she is, I'm sure, devastated and grieving. I just, still unclear to me what she knows, how much she knew, how much she does know.
And what interest you have in saying, like, he didn't know anything. I don't know why anybody's worried about him knowing anything. Mm-hmm. He didn't have any security clearance versus, I think he probably, it's my understanding that folks that are that high up, because of a vast institutional knowledge, remain in contact with people who are still actively working situations, because you are a repository of, no matter how many great detailed notes you left behind, your brain still holds so many, like, there was that weird moment, or, oh my gosh, that connected to that, that your notes alone aren't going to help with. So it makes sense that he's having dinner with folks like officials from Space Force, especially in advance of this big UFO, UAP release that, release, but, who knows?
It's interesting though, because, unless you were at that dinner, you don't really know what was said or why they were. Was something said at the dinner that made him very despondent? Like, hey, by the way, tomorrow you're going to have to leave your old family for a couple years because we need you to come underground in Antarctica and work on this thing. Or was it he knew what was going to be released to the public and that was enough to make him
bummed him out? He was like, we're going to lie to everyone again.
It's so hard right now for me to believe anybody because, we've been shown time and time again how much the administration and every agency with the three letter lies to us. So it's hard to parse out what's real and what's not.
Yeah, and even what he's told, like, what is he told that's real and not? And is it a partial information? So all that to say, if anybody listening works at Cervantes or knows that worked at Cervantes in Albuquerque in New Mexico and worked there February 26th, get on that schedule, find out who was working, and find out who served this table so we can get the deets.
For sure. I wonder if when people like that come in, if they put them in their own room, kind of like if celebrities showed up and you have to have a server that is cleared, or maybe it's somebody from your own staff. I don't know. I wonder how all that, right? I never really thought about that. But you obviously, if you walk in and hear classified information,
you're like, Wait, what?
Area 51? I'm about to get paid from somebody.
Hell yeah. Well, let us know. Yeah, write us in at sinisterhood.com/FreakyFriday.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. We will not be the ones to pay you.
No.
However, I'm not.
We'll help you.
We will tell everyone what you heard at Cervantes anonymously. And then, you know, I mean, I don't know. People can find out from the FBI who was working that night. So maybe we won't. I don't know. Or maybe you've already been questioned. Who knows?
Yeah, we won't front you out.
Mm-mm.
Well, this next case we discussed in a May 2023 minisode, and we brought you several updates since then. A Utah judge has now sentenced Corey Richens following her conviction, capping a case that drew lots of national attention and sadly left three boys without both of their parents. Judge Richard Mrazek handed down the sentence of life in prison without the possibility of parole. For those of you who do not recall, Corey Richens is a real estate agent, mother of three. She was convicted in March of poisoning her husband, Eric, with a lethal dose of fentanyl that was slipped into a late night cocktail. And then she collected millions of dollars in life insurance policies that he never knew she had taken out in his name. So the judge said that anyone who commits such acts for financial gain is, quote, simply too dangerous to ever be free. And he took into consideration that she had been convicted of attempting to murder her husband before, and he described it as, quote, doubling down, preparing to try again, and ultimately completing the act all for money.
Yeah, all for money. You've got three kids with this man. And even if you don't love him anymore, okay, so divorce. And in the divorce settlement, sue for money. You don't have to kill him. And now you're in prison too. So now your three boys are being raised by neither one of their parents. And that's super sad. They are the ultimate victims here, in my opinion.
No, absolutely. And you're right. They haven't been heard from, really, because they are minors. Their identities are still obscured, but they were able to be heard at the sentencing, and their voices were the most striking of the day, certainly. Their oldest son was just 9 years old when his father died. He told the court through his counselor, "I'm afraid if she gets out, she will come after me and my brothers, my whole family. I think Corey should get a life sentence because what she did is very sick." Their middle child wrote, quote, "I don't want you out of jail because I will not feel safe if you are out. You have never said sorry for anything that you have done to me and my brothers. I don't want you to hurt anyone again." And the youngest son's statement was equally sad, saying, "I want her to go to prison forever. If she got out, I would be so scared, really mad, and I wouldn't want to go anywhere with her."
Oh, bless these three young boys.
I mean, I think she's made it clear, and we'll talk about what she said, but she's made it clear she wants a relationship with them, and it seems like they are being luckily protected from that.
Yeah, well, wish all you want, but you killed their fucking father. Tried to a couple times and then succeeded. Very interesting, the first child not referring to her as mom. None of them calling her mom.
No, I thought that was interesting. It said, "I think Corey should get a life sentence because she's very sick." And the sentencing did happen on Eric's birthday, which I think added another bittersweet element to this that, you know, she's being punished, but he's still not here.
Yeah.
And then Corey.
And his family is, and they're like completely devastated. She's such a monster to me that she did that to these kids. And then also, knowing what she did, had the audacity to write a fucking children's book on how to grieve that her children took part in, that her children went on like talk shows to promote the book with. And now you're like, oh my God, my mom made that was all just she killed him. And I like helped sell this book. The trauma they have suffered and will always suffer is immeasurable. And I think when you do this, then you forfeit your relationship with your kids.
I would agree because I would wonder any psychological experts out there, what does it do to a kid, not just to have the parental relationship like this severed, but before it was severed, to have it based and predicated on such deception and deceit that for you know, months before Eric was killed, she was plotting and planning and filling out paperwork and like
cheating on him,
all this stuff. And then also kills him. And then also goes on to be like, I'm just the grieving mother. And I'm so sad. From those kids' perspectives, maybe not like a little bit less the little one, but by the time you're nine, like you remember stuff like this and it is going to forever impact relationships that you have with others that like that that supposedly core stable relationship to be like, this person loves me, what she says is true, I can believe her, is completely based on falsehoods and violence. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm so happy for them that they have Eric's family to care for them and to, you know, it didn't seem like there was a question whatsoever. Like, the boys are coming to live with us, you know,
yeah.
And that they are, that does not always happen in cases like this, but God, no. Those poor kids.
Well, and Corey's mother, which was seen through correspondence between her, the two of them in prison, seems like she's had a bit of a questionable past too when it's come to relationships and what she's done to exes. So perhaps the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Mm-hmm. And it makes me sick to my stomach that all three of them said, if she gets out, I'm worried she's going to hurt me and my brothers.
I'm afraid for her to come around. And you're right. Her mom has evidenced a willingness to do anything it takes to protect Corey. So I would argue that absolutely her mom should not have a relationship with mm-mm. those kids, because as the guardian, whoever the actual guardian, which is Eric's sister, that you have to trust that whoever's interacting is respecting your boundaries with regards to Corey. And if you got the mom being like, okay, your aunt didn't want me to tell you this, but mm-hmm. your mom, you know what I mean? Because her mom just will do anything for Corey. It's a man. It definitely gives you insight into maybe what Corey's childhood was like. But she herself spoke, Corey Richens herself spoke for nearly 45 minutes and read a statement that was kind of an extended letter to her sons. She repeatedly told them, be like your dad.
Bitch.
Dude.
And be like your dad in what?
Yeah.
Trust your wife that she's not going to poison you.
Exactly. Yeah. Be like your dad and be a trusting, loving man who married a psychopath. Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
You know that feeling when your ponytail suddenly feels a little fuller? Or when you head out the door and you didn't even do that last mirror check to make sure everything's sitting right? Those small moments start to add up, and before you know it, you're feeling like yourself again. Nutrafol supports hair health from within, helping you grow stronger, visibly thicker hair, so that feeling when moments happen more and more often.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, and it's the number one hair growth supplement brand personally used by dermatologists. You can feel great about what you're putting into your body since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer-reviewed studies and NSF content certified, the gold standard in third-party certification for supplements.
Let your hair be one less thing to worry about. See visibly thicker, stronger, faster growing hair in 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code CREEPY.
That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CREEPY. Well, she told her boys directly, I did not abandon you. I did not just walk out of your lives one day, never return, never call, never show up, regardless of what anyone tells you. I would never, ever, and I'm so sorry. And one day when this is all over, we can sit down and talk about all this, sort it out. I promise you boys, one day it will be over.
I'm sorry. When this is all over?
I think she thinks she's going to appeal and get out.
Well, and also, this is all over. Is that just your side of it? Because Eric's not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So there's never going to be when this is all over from him.
Or from his family who are missing their loved one. There's an Eric-shaped hole in the family. Yeah. Corey claims that all contact with her sons have been cut off by Eric's family, which is, my opinion, the right thing to do. Yeah, certainly. Corey reiterated, said she had lost, that her sons had lost both parents. One to what she called, quote, an unforeseen tragedy. And one to, quote, injustice.
An unforeseen tragedy. So does she still claim she didn't kill him?
She claims that she's innocent. Yeah, I think she's trying to push the narrative that Eric was a drug addict and put a shitload of fentanyl in his own drink that she made. Let's just reiterate.
Yeah, she made him a Moscow mule, took it to him. Then he went dump, 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 dumped a bunch of fentanyl in there and then drank it. And she went and laid down with one of her kids
and checked her phone.
He died in the other room.
Yeah, no, she, I think she is delusional. She said, I'm broken. I'm broken without your dad. I'm broken without you boys. God did not put me in this world to take a life. God put me in this world to give lives, your lives. And the really shitty thing, and it's interesting that her son pointed out, She closed without any acknowledgement of guilt. She said she's going to keep fighting, and she said, I will appeal and fight these charges no matter what. And her attorneys are sort of trying to start the appeal process. There's some issues with timing. They're like going to go out of town, and they're asking for more time to move for a new trial. And the state's like, fuck you. No, she's been convicted for like 6 weeks. Like, you should have already filed this. So
yeah,
I'm sure she's going to file everything she can.
That is tough. When, I mean, they're several years older now than at the time. They all know how to use the internet and read and see stuff. An apology, I mean, I don't know even in this case if it could go a long ways, but certainly the refusal to acknowledge your guilt in this is, clearly she's not right mentally. Anybody that can do this to their husband is not, you know, in the best mental health. But the refusal to admit any wrongdoing and, like, she's the victim here, I hope that gets, I don't want to say beat out of you in prison, because I don't want it to be beat out of you. I want it to be therapied out of you.
Yeah.
That you caused this. Tried to before and didn't succeed. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the fact that you can call this an unforeseen tragedy when you tried to do it to him before, it wasn't unforeseen. In fact, you were really planning it for quite a while.
Yeah, you're like, it was unforeseen that it didn't happen any sooner. I mean, it was something a goal you were working towards. No, I think you're right. There's a chance for, hopefully, rehabilitation once she is behind bars. She just doesn't really evidence any move toward that. She makes me think of Aaron Patterson, the mushroom murderer, that it's like, what? This thing happened to me. This horrible thing happened to me. Now I have to be in jail, and this sucks. And you're like, you're in jail because of yourself, because you didn't want to be wrong and admit, like, my marriage didn't work and I have to get a divorce. It's like, well, people can't know I got a divorce. They have to feel bad for me as a widow. So I'm going to do all these things. And it's like not understanding her own role in it and not wanting to she just can't deal with it. Like, it's so much shame attached to what she did. But yeah, an unforeseen tragedy really pissed me off.
Yeah,
she said that. But good news is, I mean, she's never getting out of jail. Life without parole. She's also not, her legal exposure does not end with her murder conviction. A separate 26-count felony case has been filed in Summit County last summer. Charges her with 5 counts of mortgage fraud, 7 counts of money laundering, 1 count of communications fraud, 1 count of engaging in a pattern of unlawful activity, 5 counts of forgery, and 7 counts of issuing a bad check. There's a status hearing scheduled for this Friday. The prosecutors say it's all these financial schemes that date back to 2021, which are what demonstrated this motive for monetary gain that ultimately led to Eric's death. And it also is the whole deal with her stealing her best friend's house is the other.
Yeah. It gives similarly with Murdoch, I mean, when you are clearly so far in debt, I mean, by all the things you just listed, that you don't know what to do. So then you start trying to kill your spouse because you need their insurance money or whatever. And when people can get that far in their own problems that they think that's the way out, it's a low and scary place to be, and ultimately the kids are the ones that suffer the most. And for her to say, I'm lost without your dad, you audacious bitch.
Right? You're like the one that made him be lost. Like, that's why we're all lost. And I think this also evidences a downward slope for her, where she started in 2021 kind of doing these, you know, taking out a life insurance policy in Eric's name or switching the name on an account to like move this property. And so, you know, so she was doing these like monetary deceits. Then in January 2022, a friend of hers sent her money to go be down payment on a mortgage. Corey Richens used that money to pay her own debts. The friend eventually got evicted from the house. So it just shows. And then, like I said, she's willing to steal the money from her friend to where the friend gets kicked out, change the life insurance policies. It was all of these deceptions and antisocial, you know, and criminal behaviors that was like, well, the next one's a little bit easier and a little bit bigger, and the next one is bigger and the next one's easier. So to see 25 felony counts over the course of 2 years that before the murder, it was like, yeah, she was working up
Oh yeah,
to being like, okay, well, I stole this. Okay, well, I got the life insurance policy. What else can I kind of get away with? You think I could push him off a cliff? You think I could cut his brake lines? You know, it's like whatever way she thought she could do it. And when she was like, oh, this lady will bring me drugs.
Yeah.
Man.
Which is why it's so insane that she's like, with the kids there, I'm broken. This was so unforeseen. And they full well know that you asked their housekeeper several times for fentanyl.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you were like, give me the Michael Jackson stuff. And yeah, she is just, I think she has evidenced a rotten moral character that just, it's not often that we have somebody that kept such good records of all their crimes.
It is interesting when people do that. And, you know, like you said, we don't know what her childhood was like. It seems if you were raised by a mom that is okay with all of this stuff, that you had some fucked up stuff going on. And I hope that she can work through that too in prison. I hope she does not get out though, because, you know, sometimes you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
No, seriously. And I think the LWOP on her criminal conviction or on her murder conviction is the appropriate sentence, because like the judge said, this wasn't like, okay, well, this one night she had this, like, finally she snapped. It was like very meticulously planned. And then if at first you don't succeed, try again. And that's horrifying to have a person like that out. So there's no trial date set for the fraud case yet. I would be surprised if they fully go to trial. I mean, surely she's going to plead down, but I mean, what more, I don't know, like what additional sentence she's going to get other than restitution, which would be nice. But I don't know how much money she's really going to have access to, because the civil docket surrounding Eric's estate is still tangled and unresolved. For those
and
of you,
she won't get any of it because she killed him.
Well, she's trying. Multiple civil cases were stayed pending the outcome of the criminal proceeding right before she went to trial for the murder. She sued the trust. So Eric's sister, Katie Richens Benson, is a trustee of the Eric Richens Living Trust. And if, for those of you who are unaware, before he passed away, Eric Richens surreptitiously saw an estate planning attorney and saw that all of the valuable things in his personal estate were moved into a trust outside of Corey's touch, because Corey had by then tried to kill him at least once, and if not twice. So the estate has filed a $13 million lawsuit against Corey. That was right after Corey had sued the estate, claiming ownership rights of the family home, the business assets, etc., under the prenup. So the sister, Katie Richens Benson, has sued not just Corey, but also named Corey's mother, her brother, and Corey Richens Realty, which was her business, as defendants, because they allegedly helped Corey shield assets so that they couldn't be taken by this lawsuit. So it's like everybody's willing to help her out.
That's why it's interesting if we find out, like, kind of how they were raised, you know, and where's her dad?
Yeah, it's like, what is this grifter family that everybody's like, yeah, put the, okay, we take the asset out of the name of the business and put it in mom's name and then move it to the brother's name, you know, stuff like that. That's all allegations.
A lot of scheming.
Yeah, but I can't believe that Corey would sue to say that she owns 50% of Eric's family home, the personal property, the business index, business interest, because Utah has a slayer statute, which is where a person convicted of killing someone cannot legally inherit property from that person. Eric's family has already said, like, we would like to respond and say, she's a fucking murderer. She killed this guy. So it'll be interesting to see how the civil proceedings move forward as the criminal case is being appealed, you know, because you want to, you know, that becomes like a determinative issue. Like, did she kill him or not? We have a a final judgment, but that has not been upheld on appeal. So I wonder how long that'll all take. But like, bitch, what are you going to do with the money? A, you owe restitution, and B, you're in jail.
Yeah. It seems as if her focus is to get out and have a relationship again with her kids. And I don't think that's happening, lady. And if that was important to you, you should have thought about that before you poisoned their dad.
Yeah, before you maliciously and evilly planned what you thought was going to be the perfect crime. But luckily, she has now been sentenced. Well, that's the update on Corey Richens. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. You know what? It's summertime. That means your calendar is full. It's full of fun, hangout, going to parties, pool parties, this, that, and the other. Everybody likes to live that wild extrovert life. You got to take advantage of the vibes, but you got to take care of yourself before you go out by drinking ZBiotics pre-alcohol.
ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow.
It's super easy because you just grab it while you're getting ready, while you're getting stuff, you know, the last thing to do before you leave out the door, take a swig, and then you feel like very on top of your game the next day. It really does. Yeah. I feel like, the scientists, whatever they figured out, I appreciate it, because when you're genetically engineering things, that's what I'm trying to get. I want something that's like for the thing that it's made for, and that's the ZBiotics.
Between weddings, the U.S. Open, and the first real lake weekend of the year, June barely leaves the Saturday Open. Don't let a rough morning after cost you your Sunday. Drink pre-alcohol to stay ahead of it and make the most of every weekend this month. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/creepy and use the code creepy at checkout for 15% off.
Our final update is in the case of Kristen Smart. So on the morning of Wednesday, May 6, 2026, San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's deputies arrived around 5 a.m. to a modest home on the 500 block of East Branch Street in Arroyo Grande, California. They were there to serve a search warrant on that old bitch, Susan Flores, the 82-year-old mother of Paul Flores, the man convicted in 2022 of murdering 19-year-old Cal Poly student Kristen Smart. The deputy served the warrant around 8 a.m., and the search that followed lasted 4 days, and for the first time, they have excavated the property.
I can't believe it's taken this long.
30 years.
At the same time, I'm so glad it's finally happening. But my God, this lady is now 82.
82. And you thought 30 years ago you were going to get away with this. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know, Kristen Smart, 19 years old, she disappeared from California Polytechnic State University in 1996. We covered her case in episodes 136 to 138. Prosecutors maintain that Paul Flores killed Smart during an attempted rape. She was last seen in the early morning hours of May 25th. Walking with Flores back toward the dormitories after an off-campus party. She never arrived. Investigators declared her legally dead in 2002, and the case remained cold until 17 years later when the true crime podcast Your Own Backyard launched and significantly helped investigators. And bless his heart, Chris Lambert, the host of Your Own Backyard, has followed the Flores family property for years, and he was on the ground at the house throughout the search, providing real-time Amazing. Updates on social media.
He has done an incredible job. And I mean, honestly, without him, Flores would not be in prison.
No, I would agree. Yeah, a jury did convict Paul Flores of first-degree murder without a body, which is a rare thing that does not often happen. He was sentenced 25 years to life. He's appealed his conviction, but that's been denied by the California Supreme Court. He's now going to serve his sentence. But the case, like I said, the issue is that there's no body for the Smart family to have found. And Chris Lambert has pointed to Susan Flores's property and says it's been overlooked for quite some time. And the past searches were never thorough enough for his taste. And I would agree with him. So mm-hmm. finally, they went in and dug it up.
Well, and she was on the front porch giving the big old bird to the reporters taking pictures from the street.
I think she recognized it was Chris Lambert and she gave him a salute, a one finger salute. Well, Sheriff Ian Parkinson said the investigators had a search warrant, quote, based on investigative leads and evidence, which is good. They said, as well as information that was derived from what we have to deem as a witness. He declined to name the witness or elaborate on the nature of the lead, but he said it was the first time investigators have returned back to Susan Flores's home during his tenure as sheriff. So I think what it is this years of independent soil science. So a study of soil vapor conducted by an environmental engineer, a scientist, a former FBI chemist and a former prosecutor had led them to believe that there was evidence of a human decomposition event. So in repeated tests, this group found molecules that indicated human decomposition, and they found them in Susan Flores's neighbor's yard, concentrated adjacent to the fence between the two properties. So that neighbor, Marsha Papich, has allowed the team to access her yard as far back as December 2020. And then Tim Nelligan, an expert in soil vapor testing, he confirmed he was on the premises during this search in May, gathering samples from the yards, from Flores, from the neighbor. His team developed a methodology to assess soil vapor and to be able to tell if molecularly human decomposition has occurred in that soil. That's crazy.
It's incredible what science can do, and good for that neighbor.
Right. If you're that neighbor, would you let him in? You'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Anything to help these this family get their daughter's remains back. I mean, at this point, it's obviously no longer a body, but something that they can bury, or, you know, at least to have finally been found. I think that's what so many parents that lose their children this way, they really cannot fully begin the path to healing until they have their child back in some way.
Yeah, really, because for her parents, it just felt like one day she's there and one day she's gone, and you really don't have anything to hold on to bury, to mourn and grieve. And for this house, I feel like it was at least one of the multiple resting places of Kristen that the Flores family moved her. Mm-hmm. And so in the search's early days, you know, they have this soil sample that tells them something has happened here. So they got a warrant for the part of the yard for digging. So Lambert documented investigators arrived. On the second day, they had green tarps covering the backyard, the side yard. Then a truck backed into the driveway was unloading shovels. Investigators were seen removing buckets of dirt from a crawl space beneath the house. And a hazmat.
Never good in a crawl space.
No, you never know. And a hazmat team worked the driveway. So it seemed like they were working to, like, get the initial warrant, allowed them a certain amount of search, and then they kept digging down and conducted a second search. There was a press conference on day three that said, yes, we're still actively searching, and that the soil conducted during that search had produced positive results consistent with human remains decomp. So that pushed them more. The sheriff said at a press conference, we believe that human remains were there at one time or still there. I'm not going to go into the details other than to just say with soil tests, it's about the compounds in the soil that are related to a human decomposing body. We can't call it Kristen, but, you know, we think there's evidence to support human remains.
Mm. So with the neighbor, is it that they buried her so close to the fence line that some of that soil seeped into her yard as well?
I think so. And I think just from, you know, wind blowing or, you know, animals moving it or dirt or something like that, molecularly, a fence, you know, dirt doesn't care about your fence. The dirt's going to just blow either way. So that it could be that it was so close. And I think when you'll recall that this was, you know, Lambert has reported as far back as 1997, the tenant renting the house discovered that turquoise earring in the yard. It was collected by the sheriff. They never booked it into evidence for whatever reason. And then a report 2 months later said, oh, we lost it. And meanwhile, it was the earring Kristen was wearing in a photograph. And then the same tenant reported hearing that digital watch beeping in the backyard at 4:20 every morning. That's when Kristen got up to go to her lifeguard job. And it was coming from a planter box freshly cut and put into the concrete in the backyard. So the tenant was evicted in March of 1997. And just after that, Susan Flores moved back into the house with Mike McConville, who was her former coworker and boyfriend. He died in 2025. So Susan's been living there alone. But this bitch rented the house that they let her son bury a body in. And then when
helped
the tenant
do it too,
certainly. And when the tenant was like, hang on a minute, was like, oh, actually you're evicted because you called the police about this. So we're going to evict you now. And I'll just live in this house. I don't even want to really live in maybe, but I have to, because if not, they're going to come dig the fucking yard up.
Yeah. Or so, we get somebody in here. You got to have eyes on your crime scene. I think, you know, not just let anybody, I get it. You're like, oh, we'll let somebody else live here. So then, you know, it won't look as suspicious. Well, You left her earring fell off her ear when you were putting her into a trash can in your driveway. And then also you forgot to take her watch off, you know,
or turn it off.
That is so eerie. That, I mean, it's like the telltale heart to act, and just so sad that the whole time her body is there and there's just a woman like, what is that beeping? You know what I mean? Like, and it was right there. But what could anybody do at that time?
No, they just, they, I don't know that the technology was there. And now they have pulled out ground penetrating radar, and Sheriff Parkinson confirmed the presence of anomalies, he said, on ground penetrating radar. He said that they could be like water lines or, you know, pipes, gas lines or something like that. But he said they could not determine what the source is without digging. So there will be more digging. Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
Oh, it's summertime, which means lots of trips to the pool, which means we make lots of sandwiches to take to the pool for snacks. So Hero Bread has got us covered, whether we want a bagel sandwich, a sandwich bread sandwich, maybe we want a wrap. We got it all with Hero Bread, and nobody can tell that there's less carbs because they're just so delicious.
Yeah, with Hero Bread, you can focus on your health goals and still indulge in the soft, fluffy experience you love, like enjoying a nutritious breakfast wrap before you leave the house, some avocado toast while you cuddle up reading a book in the air conditioning, grilled cheese with a cozy soup, or family burger night. When you get back from the pool, you're all trying to eat together something good, delicious, flavorful, but with ultra low net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and are high in fiber. You like a breakfast sandwich on the bagels or on the sliced bread?
I prefer a bagel breakfast sandwich. Yeah. I like scrambled eggs with some cheese on there. Toast the bagel. I love, though, just a turkey, cheese, and mustard sandwich on their sandwich bread, too. Mm-hmm. The kids love it. The wraps are great. We've had hot dog buns. We had hot dogs the other night after getting back from the pool. Everything is great. I mean, we're a hero. I already knew our family were a bunch of heroes, but now we can like literally say we're a hero family and then no one can question us.
You are. And you'd never know it's low net carb and high fiber bread from that texture. Get that soft, fluffy experience you know and love with your next hot dog night, breakfast sandwich like Christy likes, or a turkey, cheese, and mustard. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular 2 gram net carb hero croissant. So good. And 5 gram net carb hero noodles are also now available. What do my kids love more than anything? Macaroni and cheese.
Boom.
The hero noodles, you just add some butter and cheese to that. Delicious.
Bam. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code creepy at checkout. That's creepy at hero.co. And that he also noted while they attempted to speak with Susan Flores, their dialogue was limited and she had not agreed to meet with them. I'm sure she didn't want to say anything. Susan.
So, yeah. Dialogue was like, fuck you. Yeah,
fuck you. And
get
fuck
off
everybody.
My property.
Lambert reported that Ruben and Susan Flores were seen circling the block several times on the evening before the press conference. So I think they were freaking out to
they
be
knew.
Driving around.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Raymond helped his son from the jump when Paul called him from the dorm room. Like, I just accidentally did something, or maybe intentionally did something.
No, I mean, there had to have been some connection. Although the theory of the body movement, archaeologists searched Ruben's house back in 2021. They found a soil disturbance at his house, roughly the size of a casket, and the presence of human blood. But the blood was too degraded to obtain usable DNA. The prosecutor's theory, which is my theory, is in yours as well, I think, that Ruben helped his son bury Smart and later move her, even though Ruben Flores was acquitted of the accessory charge by a separate jury, I think because of the degradation of the DNA.
Yeah, regardless of how old he is, I think he should have been sentenced to prison because there's not one part of me that thinks they did not help. I think Susan should have also been charged, and maybe if they find something now she will be. I mean, she's 82. What's going to happen at that point? But these people have been able to live their lives for 30 years, you know? Well, and Kristen was around my age, so she'd be like 48, 47 right now. And they took all of those years from her family, and they've just been complete assholes to everybody in the neighborhood. because they know what they've done and they don't want anybody on their property. And they're certainly not giving anybody a reason to like them or think that they're innocent.
No, they've done nothing but throw up roadblocks to this poor family. And I think, you know, nobody can know how they're going to react when their son is a murderer. But I'll tell you what you should not do. And that's what the Floreses have done, because they're refusal to have Paul take accountability for what he did to Kristen led to double digits of women being subsequently raped by him. And that selfishness, I don't have kids, you know, I don't get it, but that selfishness as a parent of like, I'll do anything for my boy. And to deny another set of parents the closure of having their daughter brought home, not to mention, like I said, the bodies that have been left in his wake as the horrific rapist that he is. Like, I hate these people. Fuck Susan Flores. I hope they burn her whole house down. She can fucking be in it when it happens. But seriously, she sucks. They've searched her house like multiple times and she's been an asshole every time. They tried to search it in June of 2000. They didn't it up, I don't think, at the time. And then February 2020, they searched only digital devices. And I believe that's when there was some discussion in a family group chat that indicated that, like, the siblings kind of knew too, that kind of everybody was like, all right, now everybody stay quiet. The shit's gonna, you know, like an indication that this is a rotten family at its core.
What a horrible family secret to have looming over you. I believe his, Paul's sister lived in like the Pacific Northwest or something and kind of distanced herself,
bless her heart,
from the family because, I mean, as one would. Still, she is a victim to this in the sense that if she does know about it and she's, you know, then put in the position of, do I turn my brother in? Do I say something? And also, my parents are going to go to prison. Do I just kind of go no contact and try to not think about it? I mean, what a terrible position for any of them to be in. But at the end of the day, the person responsible is Paul Flores, because he 100% raped her, killed her either in the act on purpose or accident, and then had his parents help him cover up the crime.
No, absolutely. And like, we can't control what family we're born into, but I think you're right. You can kind of control what your role is in it when you're old enough. And to the extent any family member, whether it's nuclear or extended or anything, knows anything, if they do not reveal it, I think they should be charged as accessory after the fact. And I think from a moral perspective, just fucking say something. Like, what do you mean you're not going to say something? So I feel so bad for the Smart family that they're still waiting, but I'm very happy that the sheriff's office takes this case seriously, is still whatever this piece of evidence or whoever this witness was that came forward. Look, if you come forward, sometimes whatever information you give the sheriff might lead to them actually digging up Susan's house. Mm-hmm. So come forward if you have, no matter how small the tip could be, because you just never know. But I feel like finding out that the family had kept newspaper clippings of like her missing and whatnot is like, nah. And then those text messages, like,
The only thing that they don't have to completely pin this on them is the remains in the backyard. But literally every other piece of evidence can be traced back to them. And much like with, you know, we're like, what happened to Corey Richards as a kid? If your parents are willing to do this type of thing to help you for so many decades, one would also ask, what kind of family is this? How did those kids grow up? And again, nothing is an excuse for what you do as an adult and your own actions. It gives some insight into, well, yeah, of course they were fine to help him cover it up because they're huge pieces of shit and they always have been.
Yeah, they really have. And I think, gosh, this is digging back into the recesses of my memory, but wasn't Paul Flores the one that like in seventh grade just like beat the shit out of somebody in school and his parents were like, no, he didn't. Like, no, he didn't mean to.
That sounds familiar. It was something like that. I don't remember if it was him, but something like that.
He got into some like horrible thing at school that was like, he was clearly in the wrong and they were just like, no. No, he didn't. Our boy would never. Y'all are making it up or whatever. So it's that type of family that's willing to cover up.
No accountability.
No, huh?
Like Ethan Couch. What a sack of shit. Again, a kid that was never given consequences, never held accountable, never told, you're wrong and you got to make up for this. And then they get to be an adult and they still call their mom and dad when they need to be bailed out. And they think that they're just consequences don't apply to them. They're untouchable.
Well, we're smarter than the cops. It's fine. We'll figure it out. And it's like, you can get away with it. Maybe you can even get away with it for 30 years. But yeah. It sounds like something was revealed, not only the indication of human remains, but the search yielded the recovery of several items considered to be evidentiary in nature. They're currently being analyzed and more details will be released at a later time. So while there was not a recovery of Kristen's body, it does not sound like it was fruitless. And it does sound like the sheriff's department remains committed to finding her and bringing her home to her family. The Smart family released a statement acknowledging the search and thanking the investigators and the experts, saying, quote, "We remain hopeful that this current search will be successful and look forward to the outcome." May 25th, 2026 marked exactly 30 years since Kristen Smart was last seen alive. So the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Office says it's continuing evaluating any evidence that was collected during this search or any tips that come in. There's not really been a timeline for when we can expect updates, but we'll keep our eyes peeled. But if you have any information regarding the disappearance of Kristen Smart, the fuck shit behavior of the Flores family, the location of her remains or anything, please submit all tips to the SLO County Crime Stoppers at 1-800-549-STOP.
So the new witness is not the neighbor?
No, it didn't say that. I mean, he just said we had a new witness. Separately, the neighbor has been working with scientists and letting scientists into her yard. They did not say, because of the neighbor, we got into the yard. They just said, because of someone who gave us information, that we had probable cause for a warrant. So they had an initial warrant, I think, to dig. And then once they got human remains molecular hits, they got a second warrant that let them bring in the ground penetrating radar and the larger digging machines as well. So, I mean, I think she was moved long ago, but I do think she, for the time at least, was there. And I just wish Ruben and Susan would fucking say something. You're wasting so much resources and time and energy because you just won't say anything. Just say something.
I don't think they're going to at this point. They're in their 80s. And I mean, when you keep up the ruse for this long.
So Sisterhood, we'll be right back.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
I don't know, a deathbed confession or someone that finds her remains that isn't even related to this case. I think they initially buried her under the crawl space under the porch, then moved her to the flower bed. And now I think she was dug up years ago and moved to a third location. Mm-hmm. And who knows where that is. I mean, California has a lot of land.
Yeah, and I feel like they had access to, wasn't it like an avocado grove or something like that? They had like some familial connection where they had like a large, which has been partially searched, but even so, like when you've moved a body three times, it's like horrific to even envision like what even is left of that body. And like, what have you, I don't know that they've been like thoughtfully the remains have been, you know, kept in this body bag. You know, I think they've been keeping it in deteriorating materials because quite frankly, they didn't see her as a human being. I think Paul Flores saw her as he saw all of his victims, which is a means to an end for sexual gratification.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we will keep everybody updated on that because this has been such a long time coming for the Smart family to receive some sort of justice. I think with him being arrested, that was helpful. But really, at the end of the day, they would like their child's remains back.
Yeah. And I think we all want to see them. You know, they deserve that. They deserve at least
for sure
that
at the very least.
Man, after 30 years. Well, we can end on a semi-positive note. An update in the Epstein case. A New Mexico legislative panel just announced this week it's issuing more than a dozen subpoenas as part of a formal investigation into Jeffrey Epstein's Zorro Ranch property outside of Santa Fe.
Another New Mexico connection.
Interesting. The New Mexico Survivors Truth Commission, which is led by four bipartisan state reps, is seeking evidence from the Department of Justice, the FBI, the estate of Epstein, banks, the state attorney's office, as well as the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Department. Representative Andrea Romero, she's the commission chair. She's a Democratic rep. She said this is an accountability measure for the widespread institutional failures, saying we will not be the next ones who had the power to act and chose not to. So they're going to survey the ranch, physically go down there, survey the ranch, interview survivors, coordinate with local and federal law enforcement. I don't have a whole lot of hope on the federal law enforcement side, but do what you can do. And they said they've got an update for us in July with a final report to follow. So let's see what they can do.
Man, that is such a large property to search. And I really don't know that any of them even know how large of a property. Or, I mean, you know, who knows what's built underground that none of them know is there in the first place and what could be there.
You go down to the tunnel, you go down to the basement and see, oh, what's this door? Oh, it's a fucking tunnel that leads, mm-hmm. you know, 300 miles in one direction or something. So I hope that they truly get to go down there. I think that's the, I guess that's why I'm hopeful about this Truth Commission, because it feels like true, like representative people, like the folks that are on this are not, they don't strike me as like lifelong bureaucrats who are institutionally entrenched. It's like your neighbor who ran for rep and now she's a state rep. And now she's like, this is fucked up and I have subpoena power and I'm going to do something. So kind of like the Melanie Stansberry feel, who she's a federal rep, but she is very supportive of her state level colleagues and is watching this. But yeah, survivors who were abused at the ranch have talked about how huge it is. It's isolated. It's frightening. And they've all said like, multiple different women and men have said, no, I was raped there. I was brought there. I was abused there. So I'm glad that somebody seems like they give a shit, because the guy that owns it, Don Huffines, who's currently running for comptroller of Texas, seems to just be like, what? I'm going to make a retreat out of it. And you're like, it's a den of iniquity.
To make a retreat out of any place that has so much darkness tied to it.
Yeah, it's a place that's of pain and suffering and horrific, like just the gravest of depravities that humans are willing to do. I mean, that is where the girl who wrote in her journal that said, you know, they took the baby away. That's where that all was happening at. So God knows what they did with those babies that they took, but the very least, like, children were giving birth at this place and now you're turning it into like some retreat. So I think
they were being raped and killed.
Absolutely, they were. All I think a lot of the victims were brought on Ghislaine's helicopter and maybe were not, there was not as thorough of a list as was kept with the jet, because there was a third party flying the jet. But the New Mexico Attorney General Raul Torres in February reopened the state's criminal investigation into activities at the ranch. So hopefully that could yield some leads. The state authorities have conducted a physical search in March, but they did not disclose what, if anything, they found. But now it sounds like the commission physically also wants to go to the ranch. So I'm that's what I was going to say earlier. Like, I'm happy that the bipartisan reps are in charge of this, but I would love to see them physically go there versus to say like, well, we sent law enforcement and they took pictures and they told us it was like X, Y, and Z. I think if you are physically there and you can understand the vastness and how abandoned and isolating it is, I think it really gives more credence to a lot of the victim stories, which was like, they weren't going to just run off. Like, you were at this ranch, you could leave anytime. It's like, you physically cannot leave. There is nowhere to go.
I mean, look at the aerial pictures. There's, for miles, it's just land. Mm-mm. If a child tried to leave and run off, if they weren't caught first, they'd die due to exposure, elements, animals. I mean, I think the ranch was specifically built there because of its isolation and its proximity to Los Alamos.
For sure. And I think, the wide open skies to fly things to and from there out of the view of a lot of people. But no, I think it was intentionally as many miles away from civilization as it could be. And I think also the commission needs to interview the people that worked there. There was email after email from people that were like, the gardener, the guy that's ordering all of that weird fertilizer that can be used to burn bodies, or, you know, change the pH of a water, maybe, but also why'd you get so much of it? Why right mm-hmm. after this, in this like indictment, you bought a bunch of the body burning chemicals. So I think stuff like that, where you heard drivers talk about like, oh, I would bring women from the local, you know, exotic dancer place or whatever. So I think there's enough locals and people with local ties that are under the subpoena power of the commission that something can move forward on it. And I would love to see a whole entire international intelligence honey trap sex ring get busted by like four bipartisan reps out of New Mexico. You know, like yeah. people that don't have a ton of power that are like, we were voted in, our constituents wanted us to do this, and we did it, and we busted a hole in the side of it because you didn't expect us, because you didn't plan for some pissant little, you know, like yeah. in the mind of an Epstein, it's like, oh, what is this, some state rep, whatever, we'll just pay him off. But if you have people that can't get paid off now, that's the ones that are going to really like blow the lid off of yeah. it. So do it, baby.
Finally have someone that's like, nah, I don't care about money. I care about justice. And yeah. That's a brave stance to take when you're going up against these people that have proven time and time again, they have no problem taking out somebody that stands in their way.
Mm-hmm. They're like, you won't take a bribe, well, we will take you out. So mm-hmm. God protect Representative Andrea Romero and everybody who's on that commission, you know, bipartisanly. I hope all of them are protected and are not, do not succumb to any, you know, danger or any bribes or anything like that. And just stay the course until we all see justice.
Absolutely. Well, along with Epstein and everything else here, we will keep everybody updated either on Patreon or here. So as Heather said up top, you know where to reach us if you have anything you'd like to submit for these segments as well.
Absolutely. And if you worked at Cervantes the night that they yes. had the Space Force dinner, go to sinister.com/Freaky Friday and write in your story, because we need
to know. Italian food, I'm assuming?
I don't know. Cervantes maybe is Spanish?
Okay.
Cervantes? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe Tex-Mex?
It's a fusion.
Maybe, I don't know. Tell maybe us what like, it is.
Space fusion.
They're like, guess what? If you, this is where all the aliens come and eat. Well, if it is, if the non-human entities are there, we will go there and we'll have dinner there ourselves for sure. Yes.
I'd love to dine with them. And I'd like to see what they eat, because, you know, we don't talk about that enough, I don't think. What do extraterrestrials eat?
Just nuts and bolts, baby. Just metal.
Maybe. Metal. Maybe. Well, if you like our free episode today where we did a true crime headlines update, you'll love our Patreon bonus content where even more of this stuff goes on. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True crime headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather's saves, or anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinion, other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials. That is where you join for a week at any of the tiers, binge everything, listen to it all, check out all the perks, and then cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. Or if you stick around, you can do an annual membership where you pay for the year in advance, but you get 1 month free. And when you do that, you get a whole year of stuff.
You get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live stream bonus content that we let you all vote on the content you want to see. You get weekly audio bonus content like True Crime Headlines, Heather's Saves, Judge Christie. You get mini-sodes. We just dropped one. Even more information about the UAPs. And we have another more silly one coming up.
We do indeed.
A golden throne, if you will. You also get merch discounts and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much for 5 stars and kind words that so many of you have left. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. Even though it's on Patreon, we just do that so we can let everybody see the uncut stuff before it gets up to YouTube. And so we can say what we want. It's all you have to do is enter your email. It's super simple. You get immediate access to the chat, to the stream, the whole backlog of content for free members, And now, during Sunday Scaries, each stream we will decide at the end a Pee-wee Herman-style surprise word that is a surprise code that can be used for 24 hours for new members to get 50% off. Whatever tier you join, you get your first month half off. And let's see. The first week it was Spatchcock. This last time it was Goosepalouse.
It was Goosepalouse.
We are off this coming Sunday, but then we'll be back. And who knows what kind of silly words will be strung together to give all of you a discount.
I'm just walking around going Goosepalouse for no reason.
Also on our website, you will find fun things like topic-based playlists. So if you only want true crime, cryptids, paranormal, we've got you. It's all broken down there, easy to share and easy to listen to. And it's time to set sail, baby. Next February, 8th through 12th, 2027, we are back for Crime Wave 2.0. We had so much fun on the first one. This one is literally bigger. It's on a huge-ass ship, and there's even more creators. It's going to be so much fun. The biggest true crime festival at sea. Shows, fan meetups with us. You get $100 off your cabin plus an extra meet and greet if you use our code. So go to our website, sinisterhood.com, and you will find more information on Crime Wave 2027.
I can't wait for Crime Wave 2027, where it's fine to have second and even third breakfast.
Yes. So
come join me for all of our breakfasts and use code SINISTER.
Nobody
to come aboard.
Judge you. And if you want to order every entree they have in the dining room, do that. They also cannot tell you no.
If you're a gluten-free pescatarian, they make your food fresh for you because they don't often have those. So just a tip. I'm not telling you that you should convert, but I have. And man, that salmon was good. I can't wait. I cannot wait. You follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast. Watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or maybe you want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now, from happy birthday to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever it is you've done. We would love to celebrate with you by creating a customized video that could be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. It's perfect for when you don't want to deal with the hassles of shopping, or you're trying to get a last minute gift. Go to the website cameo.com/sinisterhood and let us know what we can do to make you smile. Where can people find you on the internet?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the World Wide Web at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts: Katie Wolf,
Sarah Caho,
Brooklyn Osterman,
and Aurora Kasky. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. We hope we pronounce your names correctly. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Sinister.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.